Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Hunter, for opening comments on Amendment 8300.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, if you commit a crime in Iowa and you're African American, your chance of going to jail is 14 times greater than if you're a Caucasian. That's the worst percentage of racially disproportionate incarceration of any state in the nation. Even though they make up only 2% of the state's overall population, African Americans make up 24% of the prison population. Iowa's Hispanic population has exploded over the past decade, growing by 83.7%, clearly outpacing every other minority group in Iowa. This has brought about its own set of challenges in language, culture, employment, and in other areas. Our disabled community rightfully seeks out to make sure that they receive their legal and social rights in Iowa and look to gain those tools necessary to achieve those rights. Those who seek warmth, those that are hungry seek nutrition, and everyone seeks justice. But there is only one agency in state government that advocates for these and others, the Iowa Department of Human Rights. The Department of Human Rights does not investigate. It does not litigate. It advocates. And in doing so, it has served over 353,430 Iowans in fiscal year 2011 with health, nutrition, housing, family development, energy, emergency services, advocacy programs, and other self-sufficiency programs. And yet this body has talked about doing away with the Department of Human Rights, moving it over to civil rights. Even though that talk has died down slightly this year, funding has been cut to this department by so much, it's basically starving it to death. This amendment would address that problem. Amendment 8300 would return funding back to fiscal year 2011 levels before the across-the-board 10% cut. I would appreciate any comments or any questions.
Chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Thede.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Hunter, thank you so much for bringing this amendment forward. You know, last year when this came about and we did a reduction last year, I want to tell you I was very upset. This year, I'm even more upset. Part of the problem is that Representative mentioned a word that really sticks with me. And if you starve it enough, what happens? Well, it will soon go away. And I have a real issue with that. Human rights does more than what you think it does. We are leaders, legislative leaders, and we're here to show people the way. We're not doing that when we're making severe cuts. Now, here's the other problem. Well, I guess it's not a problem. It's not that we don't have the money. It's a matter of will. It's a matter of value. What do you value about human rights? And I think it speaks to this with this cut. My concern is that the perception to Iowans what this means. Oh, Iowa legislature doesn't really believe in human rights. We're just going to keep slashing it till it goes away. Mr. Speaker, could I ask Representative Hunter to yield?
Would the gentleman from Polk yield?
Yes.
You're in order.
Thank you, Representative Hunter, for bringing this bill forward. You mentioned several people that this would affect. Could you please repeat those real quick?
Oh, sure. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mentioned African Americans. I mentioned Latinos. I mentioned people with disabilities. I mentioned people that are having trouble paying for heat. And that's just typically. We're also looking at Asian and Pacific Islanders. We're looking at Department of Women. We're looking at a number of other divisions also that would lose a lot of clout and their ability to advocate for those for their clients if this budget went through.
Now, Representative Hunter, would you agree with me if this passes the way it is, if this amendment does not go on and these cuts do happen, that the perception among Iowans will be that the legislature does not care about human rights? And I'm sorry to be so strong about that, but I see that being the message.
Right, and I don't think that's so far out of place. Budgets in this body are where we place our priorities. Right now, those priorities aren't with advocating for those groups that we had mentioned before. They're more in line with advocating for those people that have given corporate contributions and put money in the tax fund. So no, I don't think you're that far out of line.
Okay, well, thank you, Representative Hunter. Again, this is, I find this odd. I just find this very odd. When I was looking at all the other amendments that were previous before this, we're just seeing a slashing, a cutting, and I find this unnecessary. Now, that's just my opinion, but I do find it unnecessary. If we want to be moving in a direction of having healthy Iowans, both physically, emotionally, all those pieces that makes up a productive adult, we also need to maintain this human rights department. And the last thing I want to say is this. This is my opinion only, but I am my brother's keeper.
Chair recognized the gentleman from Pocahontas, Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I just went to the Iowa Department of Human Rights website to see what their mission statement was. And their mission statement says to ensuring basic rights, freedoms, and opportunities for all by empowering underrepresented Iowans. So in response to some of my colleagues, I very much deeply value human rights. And I actually value the life of nascent life in the womb, as that is a person. It is a human person. And so if we want to open up the debate on the respect for life, I am more than willing to open up that debate. Representative Hunter said earlier to do it all or do nothing. I actually agree with that. If we're going to do this, if we're going to stand for human rights, let's stand for all the human rights. In their own mission statement, they say basic rights. Well, a basic right is a right to life. An unalienable right to life, as a matter of fact. So, Representative Hunter, I commend you. Let's do it all or let's do nothing. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Watts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, we heard some language here about severe cuts. We heard that the legislature doesn't care about human rights. Representative Hunter, I'm not sure exactly how to handle it, but I am concerned that you would bring the race card into this argument on the budget we have today. Our budget for the Human Rights Department is the same as it was in FY12. There are no huge cuts. There's nothing that's being denied anybody. They will continue to be able to do their work as they have in the past. But I'll tell you one thing. As a budget chair and those that serve on the budget committee, I think everybody takes their job seriously. And for the second year in a row, the Department of Human Rights has given us non-factual information when they came into the committee. And I, for one, as the chair of the committee, take that seriously. And I would suggest that if they do that next year, if I should be so fortunate to be the chair, If they bring non-factual information into the committee and provide it to us as facts, my feeling is their entire budget should go. Because that's not what we're about. We want factual information brought into our committees. And we ought to deal with the facts here in the chamber. Mr. Speaker, I would request that the body reject this amendment as well. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Abdul Samad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. You know, I too sometimes, as I sit here and listen to the race card being played, but my understanding that Representative Hunter did not play the race card, but it also bothers me sometimes when we try to add other issues in, when we talk about the disparities that we see in Iowa and this country. What I heard Representative Hunter talk about was disparities, not just a race card. And we do have a disparity. And to talk about the Human Rights Commission and the work that it does in the mission, it does deal with those who basically don't have a voice, those individuals that are not represented. And when we talk about those individuals, we're talking about individuals that have lived in Iowa, contributed to Iowa, that have contributed to the history of Iowa, that has been able to make Iowa the state that it has, and is 2.3% of the population of Iowa and 24% in the penitentiaries. We're also looking at individuals that need advocated, you know, someone to advocate for them, someone who hasn't. This debate has taken place last year, Representative Thede, and we were talking about these individuals that don't have a voice. And from my understanding, from what Representative Hunter was talking about, was just making sure that the budget was restored so that we can do that. And for me to sit here and hear one of my colleagues say that they would take the budget away from an agency that has advocated for many years and was established because individuals needed advocated for bothers me. And I hope that we can have some further discussion so that never comes to the floor and that individuals in the state of Iowa will always have a voice. Especially when we look at the fact of the contributions that these individuals have given to Iowa, not just African Americans, but we're talking about women, not just women, we're talking about Latinos, not just Latinos, we're talking about people with disabilities. We're talking about Iowa, who was the house of the African American soldiers that were trained because no other state wanted them. We're talking about Iowa, you know, where we have individuals that resided here because they were Tuskegee Airmen that helped in the war. We're talking about Iowa that was the first state before Brown versus the Board of Education that allowed individuals to go to school here. Don't tell me about people not needing an advocate. Don't tell me about the Human Rights Commission. Let's not put that on the block, the chopping block, while we're discussing. Let's not make it political. Let's do what is right. But let's not include other issues that people have and try to bring to the forefront of this body to talk about birthright and babies being born. You know, instead of finding every avenue to put that out to get a message across, do not make that one of the struggles of individuals that have died to be able to just to live in this country and to be noted for and to be recognized. I ask that you support the Hunter Amendment. I hope you support adding this back into the budget. And I hope that we not stand here anymore and play political games with the plight of people that are still striving to become Iowans and to become citizens of this country. Thank you.
Chair recognizes a lady from Blackhawk, Representative Berry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, would Representative Watts yield for a question?
Would the gentleman from Dallas yield?
Yes.
You're in order.
Thank you, Representative. Not all of us were part of those committee meetings that you were involved in, but I'm just curious to know, when you said the department presented non-factual information, Can you just explain what some of that non-factual information was?
Sure. Last year, the Community Action Agency with the Department of Human Rights came in and talked to us. The issue was the individual development accounts. They told us that those funds in that account, $250,000, had already been committed. It absolutely was not committed.
Committed to who, if I can ask? Who did they say it was committed to?
They didn't tell us who it was committed to. They just said it was committed.
Okay.
We don't know who. They told us the same thing this year. There was $243,000 left in that account, and they said it had been committed. That is not true.
Okay. And how did you find out that it wasn't true? How do you know that it wasn't true again? I guess I missed
because
that.
Because the funds are still in the account and available.
Okay.
And they hadn't been withdrawn from the account.
Okay. And do you know why they said it was committed and not, and it wasn't so? I mean, I guess I'm trying to understand. So they basically lied to you, to the committee, to your committee?
It would appear that way to me.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Would Representative Hunter yield, please, for a question?
Would the gentleman from Polk yield?
I guess I would.
You're in order.
Thank you, Representative. I'm just wondering if you are aware of that discussion. Were you present at that meeting when the Department of Human Rights lied and said they had some monies committed and didn't use it?
I was there when the Department of Human Rights made their pitch to us and gave their presentation to us.
Okay. Did they explain? Did you get any information regarding? Did they explain?
I do not recall the issue even coming up, much less anybody explaining what happened to what funds or whatever.
Okay.
And in Representative Watts' defense, it could have, and maybe I sloughed it off or something, but in the meetings, at least for this year, I do not recall that subject coming up at all.
Okay. Who else was on that committee? Can you tell me who else was?
Representative Kelly would have been the ranking member on that committee. Okay. Representative Gaskill, Representative Lensing.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Speaker, would Representative Kelly yield for a question?
Would the gentleman from Jasper yield?
Yes.
You're in order.
Representative Kelly, are you aware of that discussion and that the commission lied about?
I think we need to clarify when the discussion was held. Was it held this session or last session?
I'm just trying to understand the non-factual information that Representative Watts referred to.
If there was non-factual information offered, I was totally unaware of that. When this particular department came before the committee, my recall of it was that we were basically meeting the new director just recently placed during this year. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I'm just concerned if any department is providing non-factual information. I don't necessarily, though, agree that the whole department should be wiped out if a director lied or whomever lied, but rather we have to look at other ways to address that issue. I do understand, though I don't agree with across-the-board cuts, I remember when there was a 10% across-the-board cut that this body agreed to or voted for, and there was major criticisms on that, and I think that there's some departments we should be a little bit more cognizant of, rather than making blatant cuts, I think we need to be careful of. But I must say that if we have in place department heads who, in essence, lie to us, as according to Representative Watts, we need to look at that as well. Thank you very much.
Chair recognized the lady from Webster, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, what I have to say is basically just a comment. This is my 10th session in the Iowa House, and this is the second time that I have felt extremely uncomfortable being here. The first time was last year when we were discussing basically the budgeting for this, this same department. Here is what concerns me today. If we have information that we find or believe to be incorrect for whatever reason, I've never sat in a committee where there's been an assumption that someone has lied. What is our duty to find out the truth of whatever it is that we hear in a committee? Or do we just look at it and say, oh, someone lied, and so therefore this whole department is not worth anything because someone may have lied? I find that to be extremely disturbing. What I also find to be extremely disturbing is the fact that I've sat in committee meetings, I don't even know how many, over 10 years, and I've heard things that folks have questioned and had problems with, whatever, but I've never heard anyone say that in the future they would consider wiping out an entire department next year down into the future. The question I'm asking myself, and is deeply concerning me, is what is happening here? I could walk out of this building, indeed I could walk down this hall. I could point you to instances all over the place, things that have happened to me in this building. I don't need somebody to give me evidence of what is going on. Representative Drake, you may recall the first time I showed up at an ag committee meeting 8 years ago, people came up to the desk and told me that I was sitting in the wrong place, that that table was for legislators. There was an assumption that because I was black and I was going to sit with legislators at the table, that I did not belong. Open your eyes, open your ears, look around you and listen. There's not a person in this room that has not heard something, does not know somebody, and a number of us have experienced discrimination for whatever reason, be you female, be you old, whatever. Let us not start even thinking the way that I sense that we may be thinking. Let's pull ourselves back from the brink, let's get rational, and let's not have a different standard for this department. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Hunter, for closing comments on Amendment 8300.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. Really appreciate the comments that you made, Representative Miller. I think they're right on, and therefore I'm not going to respond to Representative Watts' claim of what I was or wasn't doing. I think it's not worthy of a response. What I am going to respond to, though, is his accusation, an accusation that he wasn't even going to elaborate on until questions were asked of him, a possible misgiving of information 2 years in a row that evidently happened with two different directors, one appointed by the governor, when Representative Watts had an opportunity, if this was the case, of asking those questions during an admin and reg meeting in which Department of Human Rights was there. I gave him the benefit of the doubt at the time, thinking maybe I missed something there, but it doesn't appear that I did miss anything. And for him to come to this body at this time and make those allegations without anybody from the Department of Human Rights present or even have the capability of answering those accusations is low. And you should be ashamed of yourself, Representative Watts.
Would the gentleman from Polk, both gentlemen from Polk, approach the well? Representative Hunter, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, no matter what's been said on the floor today, and whatever has been said by either party as far as what funding may be or may not be available in future, perhaps we should take a look at what exactly the Department of Human Rights does before we make any kind of a judgment on what kind of funding they have, or if not, they should even exist. For example, the Department of Human Rights has been the conduit for federal funds, from the Enforcing Underage Drinking Laws program. And Iowa recently received national recognition for its comprehensive approach in using these funds due to a new effort to develop statewide collaboration between the Iowa State Patrol and local jurisdictions. Department of Human Rights assisted local agencies in leveraging over $252 million in additional federal, state, local, and private funding. Local agencies also leveraged 11,297 volunteers who contributed over 330,000 volunteer hours to their communities during the year. The weatherization program created or retained over 350 jobs while implementing over $80 million in American Recover and Reinvestment Act funding. The Low-Income Housing Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, provided assistance to 95,018 Iowans in fiscal year 11. The Criminal Justice Information System has been improving the quality and timeliness of justice system information, thereby improving public safety, eliminating data entry errors, and redundant data entry, providing complete, current, and timely data, improving the ability to evaluate policy decisions and changes. They've also spearheaded and implemented the Covenant for America and for Iowa, in which community leaders and black leaders in towns and cities throughout Iowa have gotten together and discussed and made changes in the way we act and react to each other. They've also spearheaded and provided assistance and information on laws dealing with domestic abuse, women's rights, immigration, and a myriad of other legislation that we've passed throughout the years. This is what Iowa deserves. And these are some of the programs that may be lost due to a lack of caring and to a lack of funding. More importantly, valuable Iowans could lose an advocate as they maneuver through Iowa laws and regulations and as they maneuver through life. This is not in the best interest of Iowans. This bill and this amendment brought forth by the Republicans is not in the best interest of Iowans. Iowa needs somebody in state government to be their advocate. The Department of Human Rights is that advocate. Don't take that advocacy away by starving this department financially. Mr. Speaker, I move Amendment 8300. Thank you.